WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As the United Nations General Assembly convenes, the Secret Service says it cracked a plot that could have crippled telecommunications functions around the UN throughout New York City. The investigation's ongoing, but one source familiar with it tells ABC that authorities believe the plot's connected to the Chinese government. President Trump will address the UN today, a day after he suggested a link between acetaminophen use during pregnancy and autism. ABC medical correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says medical groups still say Tylenol is safe for pregnant women.
And contrary to what the president said, there is a downside to not treating fever and pain in pregnancy, which is preterm birth, birth defects, miscarriage, maternal anxiety and depression, and high blood pressure.
Closing arguments begin today in the trial of Ryan Ruth. He's the man of trying to kill then-candidate Donald Trump last year on a Florida golf course and is serving as his own lawyer. He faces life in prison. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Administration have announced $1.3 million in grant funding for coastal communities across the state. The funding will go to local governments, regional planning commissions, universities, and nonprofit organizations for projects that enhance public access, address contamination issues, and support educational efforts. A number of Northwest Wisconsin organizations will receive a portion of the grant funding, including the Northwest Regional Planning Commission and the City of Ashland. A new report released by the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin estimates that communities across the state could end up spending millions to address nitrate contamination. The organization's report identified the overapplication of fertilizers to farm fields as a major contributor, estimating that 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer was used statewide in 2022. As a result, about 10% of the private wells in the state and up to 20% in heavily farmed areas failed to meet Wisconsin's drinking water standards of 10 milligrams per liter. Rice Lake area residents gathered at the River Church on Saturday for the inaugural Walk for Lives fentanyl awareness event. The first iteration of the event saw a number of speakers sharing information on the dangers of fentanyl while organizers distributed free Narcan to residents. A representative from the Barron County Sheriff's Department also spoke at the event, warning residents of the uptick they've seen in overdoses involving fentanyl and methamphetamine mixed together. After the speeches, residents took part in a two-mile walk through the city. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has published a summary of public comments on the updated Chippewa Flowage Joint Agency Master Plan. The agency collected public comments on plans for the future of the over 15,000-acre Sawyer County land throughout last December and January. According to their summary, some common themes emerged, including concerns over natural resource management, maintaining water levels, preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species, and protecting tribal sites from erosion. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Crew and the Padres tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it'll be another late night on the West Coast for the Brewers as they take on the Padres for game two of their three-game series at San Diego's Petco Park. The Padres right-hander, Randy Vasquez, on the mound for San Diego against lefty Bruce Zimmerman, getting his first start for the Brewers. Game one finished after midnight here as the Padres won 5-4 thanks to a walk-off RBI single from Freddie Freeman in the bottom of the 11th. That clinched the spot in the playoffs for the Padres, their fourth in the last six seasons, the game ending past manager Pat Murphy's bedtime.
Good baseball game. You know, pleased with our guys. They came out to play hard, and they played hard the whole way. Padres got a really good team, and they were resilient, and give them credit.
NFL, the Packers face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb now out a month after suffering a high ankle sprain in their loss to the Bears in Chicago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 50. On Wednesday, some clouds to start, then increasing sunshine. A nice day with highs right around 70. Right now, it's 57.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network. And we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, Jimmy Kimmel is back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickell under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay. Continue.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning at 7:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 23rd, 2025. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by with the forecast. And then we're going to be talking to congressional candidate Laura Benjamin from Eau Claire, who's running in the 3rd Congressional District, former Eau Claire City Council member. And we're going to talk about last night's Eau Claire City Council meeting, the first one since a couple of council members found themselves in hot water for the crime of expressing a point of view on the Charlie Kirk killing. And we'll talk about, you know, who showed up for last night's council meeting and what they had to say about the potential efforts to curtail the freedom of speech of a couple of elected officials in the city of Eau Claire. But before we get to all of that, it is contest time again. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Parker, there's fine print to read in this. There's rules.
Yeah,
there's like everything else.
Multi-state.
We're going to need a proper music bed for this.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, we got to work. Either the game show one, or because it's Go for the Green and Gold. Now we can't use that song.
No, we can't use that because we're not allowed to say that word. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll work on that. So anyway, you listen to all of this, and
sure,
by the end, you're going to know exactly what kind of music bed we're going to need for tomorrow. Okay.
I'm just that good.
That's it. Okay. So give a listen and we'll see how this works out. All right. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold, as in gold and jewelry. Here's how to play. The texting is done through the Civic Media app. Look for a station. Use the text button for the 7 a.m. hour. You have to text us this hour's keyword before 8 a.m. There will be 7 chances to enter throughout the day, different keywords each time. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. See, green and gold. Then, one really lucky winner for the whole two-week contest will win the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats to see a Green Bay versus Minnesota football game, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize is more than $1,500. Remember, each entry will get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity, such as signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Here we go. The keyword to text us before 8 a.m. is rival, as in Green Bay and Minnesota. Minnesota is a rival. R-I-V-A-L. R-I-V-A-L. Text rival before 8 o'clock. And then your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matinee on Air to Go for the Green and Gold. Let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot now to get the forecast on a day that is starting really foggy here on Lake Wissota. Very gray, very dreary. Is this something that's going to be sticking around today, Brittany?
No, thankfully. So we're just starting off ugly, right? We've got a lot of clouds sitting on the ground right now. Dense fog, thick in many, many places with less than a mile visibility. So a little rough commute this morning. I know a lot of us have some headaches from driving through that, but otherwise it will clear from between now to about 10 a.m. It should all lift and be gone. After that, we are going to see more clouds hanging out down south, more sunspots trying to peek through up north, and we're actually looking at a rather dry day today. The only chance for precipitation is a little bit of sprinkles pretty much north in the state, kind of sparking maybe this afternoon, but that's not even a trace of rain, so that is barely much at all. Down south, that look front is parked from about Racine, and it's dipping into Illinois now, and it's going to stay south. So a lot of the rain and the showers and the storms are going to be away from us, a much drier day expected, and then we've got a high-pressure system building in as we go into the rest of the week. So highs today will hit the mid-60s to mid-70s across the state. Tomorrow, we will get slightly cooler. All of us fall to about the 60s throughout Wisconsin. Mixed skies, mainly dry. The only chance for sprinkles this time tomorrow will be southeast in the state, kind of by Lake Michigan, although one or two could hit Madison as those winds from this departing system go across Lake Michigan. So that's it. Afterwards, high pressure system takes over on Thursday into the weekend, into next week as well. Temperatures will be sitting anywhere from about 70 to 80 degrees across the state. Dry conditions. Couldn't ask for anything better.
All right, Brittany Merlot, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next hour as well.
Sounds good.
Okay. Like I said before, it was a busy Eau Claire City Council meeting yesterday. People anticipating what might be coming up after two council members reacted to the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in ways that Charlie Kirk supporters did not like and called for some kind of action, resignations or recall, whatever the case may be. And this last night was the first city council meeting since that time. And since that time, because of that backlash, because of things that Congressman Derek Van Orden has been saying, in fact, hundreds of times he's been saying and expressing his willingness to infringe on the free speech of others. We wanted to see if that sentiment carried over into last night's city council meeting. It did not, based on coverage from Channel 13 in Eau Claire and Channel 18 as well. The speakers who showed up for last night's public part of the speaking all spoke in favor of protecting freedom of expression. Laura Benjamin is a former Eau Claire City Council member. She is now one of three Democrats running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, hoping to take on Derek Van Orden in November of 2026. And Laura's with us right now. Laura Benjamin, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
You bet. Well, so there you were once again in touch with the city council that you had belonged to. And again, to see the reports, it looks like if there was going to be a mob with torches and pitchforks, they didn't show up last night.
Well, it certainly sounded like they were ready for it. We went over the decorum rules and all that again. But the people that spoke there were very much in favor of the free speech of our council. And they saw what was happening with Derek Van Orden's willingness to attempt to withhold funds from our community as more of an attack on our community and these council members' free speech rights than anything else.
Well, and that I think maybe started what I guess you could call the backlash to the backlash. It's one thing that people might have been angry at what other people said about Charlie Kirk. It's another to say you're going to withhold federal funding from one of the largest cities in your community. Well, let's just start with that again, as somebody who's been on the city council and knows the role of federal funds in the operation of the city, the health and well-being of its residents. And now with you as a candidate hoping to run against that very same congressman, what'd you think when you heard that threat the first time from Derek Van Orden?
These funds are already designated to our community. It's law. It's done. It's a done deal. These funds are promised to Eau Claire. We make decisions based on those funds. We expect that to happen regardless of what a member of the leadership says. So even if an Eau Claire City Council member says something that's unpopular or that one side of the aisle thinks is unpopular, it doesn't matter. Frankly, the decision's been made, the laws have been signed, the budget is set, and we expect that is carried through.
And so what does it tell you and what do you think it should be telling people, not just in the city of Eau Claire, but throughout the 3rd Congressional District about, you know, the temperament or the emotional maturity or the leadership qualities of Derek Van Orden and whether he deserves a third term or not?
Well, I think what we're seeing is instead of de-escalation, we're seeing continued escalation. We certainly had an opportunity where folks on both sides of the aisle could come together and say, you know what, we're both going to condemn political violence. Well, I think we heard that from some people, but for Derek Van Orden and President Trump and others on the Republican Party, we heard, no, we're going to use this as an opportunity to ignite bigger fires. If you watched any of the coverage of Charlie Kirk's funeral on Sunday, if you watched what Derek Van Orden had to say here on our local media, it was attack, attack, attack. It's all the left's fault. We have no culpability in this. And here it is. You know, he's written out this short bill that says if an individual condones or celebrates violence, federal funding for that entity will be withheld. So they're not making a law restricting the speech. They're doing that workaround that they try to do where they're going to restrict funding based on the speech that's made.
Well, the thing is, I mean, with what we're not clear on is who determines that? Who determines that somebody has condoned, political violence? And what do they mean by, you know, political violence? Because again, a lot of the comments in return were not advocating for political violence. They were either quoting Charlie Kirk's words or talking about his life and legacy, which is hardly the same thing, that same kind of equating that comes in there. So Laura, and we're talking to Laura Benjamin, candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, one of three Democrats hoping to unseat Derek Van Orden. But in the Eau Claire part of the district, again, it's a sprawling district, past La Crosse, down to Prairie du Chien, and then up through into parts of central Wisconsin as well. So as you've been getting around the district, introducing yourself to people, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to talk about Derek Van Orden and the things that he's done or hasn't done or things like that. But you're also looking to stand out from a current three-candidate primary field. So in light of recent events, what is it that you tell people about your own leadership or management style that you think would serve them better as a member of Congress?
Wow. Okay. So I think that there's a couple of pieces to that question. And the first piece is, what do we do now? And the second piece is, what do we do later? Right now, I've been encouraging people to vote with their wallet. This is one of the things that we just saw when Jimmy Kimmel was pulled off the air. People reacted to that by discontinuing their Disney Plus subscriptions, their Hulu subscriptions. And that shows that in a lot of ways, corporations treat money as a vote, as speech. And so we can have an impact and actually shape some of the narrative and some of the decisions that are being made by leadership and by large corporations by voting with our money. This kind of solidarity can be really impactful in the meanwhile, while we're working to regain some level of formal leadership in Washington. When it comes to my policies, I look at my policies as more, what do we do for people moving forward so that folks feel comfortable living in this country again? They feel like it's an affordable place. They feel like they have access to things. So most of my messaging has been around Medicare for all, living wages, not a minimum wage increase, but actually a living wage that's indexed to the cost of living in communities, and to make sure that our human rights are protected so that, you know, no matter whether you're, you know, Black or white or Indigenous, you're LGBTQ, that you have, you understand you belong in this country, and frankly, that your freedom of speech and your freedom of expression are protected.
Along with all of this, which we won't have time to cover now, but there is the threat of a potential government shutdown next week based on votes that Derek Van Orden and other Republicans in Congress have taken. If that comes to pass, there are going to be impacts, not just in Eau Claire, but throughout the 3rd Congressional District. And no doubt we will be having that conversation as well, if and when that time comes next week. Laura Benjamin, again, is a candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Her website is laurabenjaminforcongress.com. Facebook would be Laura for WI, LAURA, FORWI, and Instagram, Laura for Congress. Laura Benjamin, great to talk to you again. Thank you so much for the visit and for the reaction to current events. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right. And again, we've been talking as we're able to with Emily Berge. We talked to her last week. Current president of the Eau Claire City Council on Derek Van Orden. Becca Cook has been turning down interview requests recently, but we will continue to reach out and hopefully be able to talk to her as well. Again, three candidates right now in the race for 3rd Congressional District and a primary that will be held in August of next year. Coming up, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and then Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Quitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
We've got more with Pat Quitelow coming up here on the Buzz of the North. It is a Greeple Tuesday morning. We'll talk a little Green Bay Packers. We'll talk a little Minnesota Purple Vikings. Joel here. Gray. Morning, Gray.
Good. Well, it's a morning.
Before we get to our football talk, we've got a keyword this hour, 7 a.m. hour. It's rival, appropriately enough. R-I-V-A-L. That is your keyword. Text that to us on the Civic Media app. Right now, it's free to put on your Android or iPhone. Go to WBZH, Buzz of the North, Rival, R-I-V-A-L. You'll be entered into today's daily prize of $200 cash and gold jewelry, gold-plated necklace, and you'll be in for tickets to go see the Green and Gold on November 23rd. So get that entered to us after Sunday's game, Gray. Maybe the value of those tickets dropped a little bit. But Packer fans, hey. Settle down.
100%.
Right? Settle down.
I logged onto the fan forums after the loss, and one of the top posts was, some of you need to take a breath. And I was like, okay, even that person who's giving the reality check is taking this too seriously. I was like, y'all, it's the NFL. These guys get paid. That's Myles Garrett.
Yeah. And we kind of, for the Packers to have success, they're going to have to use that formula that really they did when Rodgers won a Super Bowl and when Favre won a Super Bowl. And that was both of those years, their defenses were really good.
Yes. Yep. You've got to have a good connection with a receiver or at least manufacture some offense somehow, which is what we really struggled with yesterday. But on top of that, you've got to have a pass rush. I mean, look at Super Bowl winning teams, whether it's the Packers or not. Look at the 90s era dynasty Cowboys. One of the names that doesn't get enough attention, though he is a Hall of Famer, Charles Haley, the pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, the the guy, he was a very interesting dude. Charles Haley's got some off-the-field stories, but he was instrumental. You've got to do something to eliminate opposing offenses, and the defense is the only option. I think from there it's a pretty foregone conclusion.
And we found out, well, the Packers are finding out what Micah Parsons can mean to a team. You look at the Browns yesterday, their defense. I mean, they got a Micah Parsons-type player that has to be accounted for. And Matt LaFleur admitted in his coaching career, he never prepped for one guy more than he did for that Browns game.
Which is why I'm sure Matt LaFleur was absolutely as scared as anybody when Zach Tom went down yesterday. No, LaFleur didn't have nothing ready for that, but I'm sure... I think the playbook probably shrunk by about 60%. That's a number that I'm definitely just kind of pulling out of nowhere there. But if you told me that they had less than half their options after their number one right tackle went down facing Myles Garrett, I'd say, yeah, that makes total sense. Certainly the playbook shrank, and what's worse, it didn't necessarily matter because Jordan Morgan, the replacement, did not hold up by discipline or by execution.
The
when the whole offensive line, who is the key to the game, falls apart in the first offensive series, I'm amazed we held out as well as we did, and that it was the back of one mistake that really cemented the loss.
It's a Greeple Tuesday. We talk football here in the 7 o'clock hour and the 7:22 and the 7:52 segments. Joel and Gray here. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how the loss of one offensive lineman and then getting them back can just totally flip. The Vikings are an example of that on Sunday, because Christian Darrisaw was out in the game versus Atlanta, and the left side of the line was like a floodgate. It was just coming through. As soon as he went back out there, all of a sudden Carson Wentz, right-handed thrower, he got the left side of the line, his left side of the line protected. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have anybody in his face. That guy, Christian Darrisaw, pushed the guy out many times, took control of it. He's a big man, Christian Darrisaw. If you look it up, he's probably going to be a Pro Bowler if he stays healthy for a whole year. But it's as simple as that. Offensive linemen are so hard to find. You would say, well, why can't the backups be better? Well, because the starters, most of them aren't that good, right?
Of course. And that just speaks to the general lack at the moment of NFL offensive line talent. It's kind of been trending upward the last couple seasons, but 3 or 4 years ago, it was a serious problem when injuries stacked up. It could be true again, depending on how injuries shake out. And we're just coming off a little bit the same issue with kickers. There's kickers and offensive linemen we're pretty short on right now. We're good on punters. We're mostly good on receivers, though many teams would take another really good one. Who wouldn't? Mm-hmm. But there's not just this glaring lack of what are we going to do across the league like there is at kicker and offensive lineman. I mean, speaking of kicker, Parker Romo, I feel for you, bud, but you have been released from my fantasy team. I grab them when they have a good week. It's like, do you have 2 good weeks in a row in you? Yeah. Then you might stick it. Nope.
And so many fans, and I'm guilty sometimes too, we're guilty of saying, throw the ball deep. You know, there's always penalties on those 50-yard passes. And why don't you throw the ball down the field? Well, there's two main reasons why coaches are so reluctant to do that. And number one is it takes longer for the routes to develop. So there's a pretty good chance your quarterback is going to get hit. Whether he gets sacked or does get the pass off, he's probably going to get hit in the leg, hit somewhere. He's going to get hit somewhere. And, of course, number two is the turnover. Because turnovers, one turnover in a game, if you're negative one turnovers in a game, your win-loss percentage just like plummets. Just plummets. So the chance of being hit or intercepted goes up too on a long pass. So the risk is really high, so you don't want to risk it that many times. Take 3, 4, 5 shots, maybe downfield. Maybe that's even more than some teams do. But there's so much that can happen bad in those plays.
100%. And that's something that I think the data reflects. I haven't reviewed enough of the film from this weekend's game, but it's something I mentioned to you yesterday morning, Joel. The moment that Zach Tom went down, I believe the next play or one of the next plays in the next 3 or so, there was a sack. And the play immediately after that, Jordan Love was running scared because he'd just been sacked and he knew that the right side of the line wasn't going to hold up. And when that's the case, I mean, okay, that's why we have to shrink the playbook. Again, I don't know if the data supports this. I think this is just my general feeling. But it felt like from that point forward, we switched to a much quicker playbook, shorter developing route, specifically because Love could not depend on the time for a 10-yard out and up. You know, there's just the receiver doesn't have that time. Love doesn't have that time. The complex play cannot develop. So, again, credit to the team for sticking in with what they had, making do until that one critical error cemented it.
It's a very rare quarterback that can make that accurate throw while getting leveled almost at the same time, because your body cannot prepare yourself for that hit if you're going to make the accurate throw. Matthew Stafford, he's incredible what he did in his career. We'll talk more football coming up. Hold on, because we've got Pat Kreitlow, who's pounding on the glass saying, I need to talk, and he'll come in here in just a moment. We'll talk more Greeple Tuesday football coming up at the end of this hour here on The Buzz of the Nerd.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Recently, a bill has been introduced into Congress looking to add more transparency in the fertilizer market and lower the prices for farmers. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and here to give more insight for why there's a need for this bill is Shane Goplin, a farmer with HV Acres LLC and member of the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association.
In transparency in the fertilizer market, we really don't know trends. From a farmer's perspective, on my end, we see that, it seems like if the grain prices go up, well, the fertilizer prices go up. Why? We don't know. It's just, kind of what we've gotten used to. But now we're, next year we're seeing fertilizer costs going up even more without the price of grain.
Shane Goplin says that they just want the answers as to why these things are happening. Why is fertilizer continuing to go up when the crop prices continue to go down? For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Dairy Checkoff has introduced Smart Swaps. This is a dairy-focused initiative designed to help schools meet evolving nutrition standards and student expectations while using dairy. The goal is to find something that both students like and is good for them. In other news, Foremost Farms USA, a leading dairy cooperative and manufacturer in the Midwest, has announced that they have reached an agreement to sell their food service cheese business, including the 1950-127 brand. And to go along with that, all the related manufacturing equipment will be given to Wisconsin Dairy Distributing. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 50. On Wednesday, some clouds to start, then increasing sunshine. A nice day with highs right around 70. Right now, it's 57.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santel as we discuss the Supreme Court's dismantling of all independent agencies. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, Matt Nair and Greg Bach are coming up after this fine program. Theirs begins at 9 o'clock, runs from 9 to 11. And during the 9 o'clock hour, they too will have a keyword as part of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. We've got one of those going on this hour right now. And the word that you have to text us before 8 o'clock this morning is rival. R-I-V-A-L, rival. Text that using the Civic Media app to be in the running for a daily prize that includes cash and a gold-plated chain, see the green and the gold, and then the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a game in Green Bay in November. Again, we had details a little earlier this hour. Details again at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But again, to be in the running for the daily prize, as well as that big grand prize, you've got to text us RIVAL, R-I-V-A-L, on the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock. Sign up for our daily newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. That includes our question of the week and who is to blame if there's a government shutdown next week when the new fiscal year begins. Is it Democrats who should just let majority Republicans, you know, do what they want? Is it Republicans who know they need Democratic votes to pass a budget? Is it President Trump who should be rising above the party politics and crafting a deal so there's not a government shutdown? Whatever your thoughts of it, to answer the question of the week and to see it first on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. When I mentioned Jane Matinair is coming up next, not only will she have another keyword to win, but at 10 o'clock, she's going to have Dr. David Drake, a UW professor and extension wildlife specialist. That will be her guest along with me at 9:30, if she'll still have me. We'll see. You know, it's always either I click the button, I show up in the studio, or I find out it doesn't work anymore. You know who it still works for here? It works for Sheila Everhart, and it works for Hans Breitenmoser. Hans is a dairy farmer from Lincoln County up near Merrill, and Sheila is with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, and we love talking to them every other Tuesday about farm and ag tourism issues. Good morning to both of you. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Pat, and I'm sure it's nothing personal.
I'm sure it's not, yes. And Sheila, you doing well?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Hans, I always like to start just a little bit with what's happening in farm news. And the thing that certainly is sticking out for me is soybeans, where, again, we should be shipping about $12 billion worth of soybeans to China. They haven't purchased a single bean yet. They have been getting their soybeans from Brazil. And based on yesterday's headlines, probably we'll be getting more from Argentina because of Donald Trump's tariffs. I know you don't know the answer to this, but boy, at what point is there any sense of, is panic the wrong word for people who are depending on having a good harvest and finding a market for those beans?
Well, I think panic's probably a reasonable word for the cash crop farmers. I mean, we have a dairy farm. We grow a little tiny bit of soybeans. This year we grew 100 acres of soybeans for the non-GMO edible soybean market, and a lot of those will go to Asia. So that market is, you know, not great. But yeah, I mean, we're a commodity exporting country. And when your trade relationships with other countries aren't spectacular, that tends to push commodity prices down. And we can only use so much of those beans ourselves. Other countries know how to grow stuff, and they certainly will. And economies like Argentina and Brazil, of course, they rely on their ag exports as well. So they're very happy when we make poor trade deals, and they become the preferred supplier.
Yeah. And again, this all relates to the government shutdown that could potentially happen next week in this way. This should be one of the things Congress is working on right now, is whether this particular trade war is in the nation's best interest, or should they have some more oversight over what the president is doing. But we can't even get to that point if they can't even keep the government open. So that's where the two things are connected. And again, we'll continue to follow this story. And of course, on the Midwest Farm Report, early mornings on many of these civic media stations. Now, Hans and I have spoken repeatedly about diversity in Wisconsin farming. That also includes a tourism component. It might just be, you know, local visitors coming to a dinner. It might be people coming from far away to see pumpkin patches and corn mazes. That's the kind of thing we have this time of year. And Sheila Everhart is watching all that for us from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Sheila, this strikes me as prime time for farmers that want to have corn mazes or pumpkin patches, and the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is all over promoting that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. I just shake my head, Pat. You know, the USDA has confirmed that we're looking at double-digit income loss again. Not only is it our soybeans, but it's also our corn commodity prices are not good. So what is good for farmers to help make that ends meet is agricultural tourism. Our farmers are innovative and they're great at growing crops, but right now they're focusing on growing the corn for a corn maze to allow guests that are many generations removed from a family farm to go out and walk through the corn, learn about how to grow corn, what it looks like to be in a cornfield, and have an experience in a corn maze. And most importantly, they're willing to pay for that experience that gives that farmer an additional revenue stream. And why do parents like corn mazes? Because it's actually learning. It's encouraging problem solving, building communication skills and cooperation, promoting being outdoors and promoting exercise, and encouraging language development. And it's a time for families to be together, to explore, to learn, to have fun, and to support our local farmers.
And you know, Sheila, thanks to technology, making these corn mazes used to be a lot harder. And now the technology, GPS, I assume, is what makes these mazes much more interesting, much more intricate, right?
Well, we have some farmers that are using technology to the highest degree. They even have developed apps for smartphones. So you can pull up, you can scan the QR code. It goes right to the Corn Maze app. It gives you clue. You can track your distance and what clues you've obtained. And it leads you to even an escape room that is right within the corn maze. It all depends on the farmer. There are many farmers that are still doing the corn mazes the old-fashioned way with the grid paper and designing it and going out and cutting it with their mowers. It just depends on the farm. A lot of farms are having trivia. You know, how many gallons of milk does it take to make a pound of butter? Or how many gallons of milk does it take to make a gallon of ice cream? So that our guests are learning something within the maze. So it just depends on the farm itself, because every one of our farms is unique and offers different experiences, whether you are in a very specific design maze to look like something that is so beautiful that you see the design from the sky or from a drone footage, or if it's just a design that was cut by the farmer and includes trivia. So it's a great opportunity for families to get out and enjoy our fall season.
We're talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer up in the Merrill area. And Hans, the corn maze aspect of it and using, you know, GPS technology. I mean, if you could go back, I mean, there's been a lot of changes in farming in 40 to 50 years, but what GPS has enabled farmers to do in terms of what planting, harvesting, yield, all of that, but then to also have a little bit of fun with the GPS. I think that anybody's farm grandparents or great grandparents would just be tickled at both aspects of what you can do with satellites now.
Well, and it's a generational thing. You know, I'm too young to be a curmudgeon, but just, you know, my experience with the corn maze is when the heifers get out and in the middle of the night and I have to chase them through the corn. My son, on the other hand, was packing corn silage yesterday because we started chopping yesterday, and he pushed the right buttons on the GPS on one of the pack tractors, so he didn't even have to steer on the bunker silo. It just moved him over 50 inches every pass. So that's the difference in the generations, for sure.
Absolutely. And it's not just the corn, by the way. I think I've told the story before about on our street, and we're going back 20 plus years now, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old, and the sun was going down, and we were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. And they thought we were playing hide and seek. So even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them. I like these organized mazes much, much better. And Sheila, to that end, the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association has a maze challenge where you can visit a maze between September 11th and November 2nd. For a chance to win prizes, you go to wiagtourism.com, and it involves taking a photo, put it on social media, use the tag WATA Maze. And by that, I mean WATA for Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, WATA Maze, MAZE. And then random winners will be selected. You guys have found a way to mix farm tourism and photography and social media to make this a fun event.
Yep, we want everyone highly engaged. And I will say, Pat, our farmers really make sure that the corn mazes are safe and that everyone goes in, comes out. They have a corn maze checklist, and they are ready for our guests to come out and enjoy the corn maze this fall and go to the pumpkin patches and pick their pumpkins and just enjoy farm fresh food while they're on the farm.
Well, you took me right to our final point here, and that was pumpkin patches, again, a big popular thing coming up this time of year. And I have to admit, I know very little about pumpkin growth in Wisconsin on farms, how much of it is done like for income versus as kind of a more of a hobby. But this is, again, prime season for farmers who've been working on growing pumpkins to have visitors come in. And I would imagine at the website, people can learn more about that as well.
Yes, and we do have some podcasts that are on wiagtourism.com. And we have Pumpkin Farmers talk exactly what it means to be a pumpkin farmer, how they grow their pumpkins, and how they sell and market their pumpkins. And really, a pumpkin and a sweet corn stand are the easiest two, and the corn maze, those are the three easiest ways for people to start with agricultural tourism. We have a lot of young farmers that are in high school, that are starting their pumpkin patches and their pumpkin wagons, and then they continue to grow as they learn the process of growing and harvesting pumpkins. And then it becomes a family affair. And often these pumpkin sales help to put our young farmers through college.
Yeah. And again, I can testify now, having four grandkids, that as each one has come up in age and get to what would be a prime age for corn mazes and pumpkin patches and rolling around in whatever you'd call them, the corn pits. It's not a ball pit. It's a corn pit just filled with dried corn. The kids love that. And all the other things that you can do for family-friendly ag tourism, go to wiagtourism.com. Sheila Everhart, thank you so much as always. And Hans Brighton Moser, dairy farmer up in Lincoln County, always great to connect with you as well. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much, and thank you for supporting Wisconsin agricultural tourism and fall and our small to medium family farms.
You bet. Thank you very much. It's always good to see you all. And we'll have our tag team duo of Cam Stevenson from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area talking politics in the next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report. right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
All right, Joel Karnick, Greg Gunderson on the Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow, Up North News. More of him to come at the Buzz. It's about 7:52 here. It's a Greeple Tuesday. That means we talk green, we talk purple, thus the Greeple. Spell it however you want. We don't care. G-R-E-E-P-L-E, by the way.
That's how we spell it.
That's how we spell it. Joel and Gray were talking about the NFC North Division from this past weekend. Of course, Packers, a very disappointing loss. Just kind of a... I call it kind of a freakish loss for the Packers because I felt they had control of that game up until the interception by Jordan Love. Even the block kick, that's just not going to happen very often where a guy gets off the line on the edge. And give a little bit of credit to the Browns because the Browns' defense is pretty good. Their offense isn't going to get them into the playoffs, but their defense is pretty good.
They're looking legit. They're looking. I mean, and Darryl Johnston, one of the commentators, was mentioning it all game that they're right now the Browns' defense is the best of the best, and I think this will go down more as a notch in the Browns' favor than in the Packers' demerit column, though there's plenty of that. 50% more penalties than in the Commanders game. You know, there is some unavoidable regression in key places. That said, there's silver linings. Rashawn Gary leads the league in sacks, at least before the Lions game, but we won't. I don't need so many good teams in the NFC North right now. And the Bears won. The Bears won too this week.
The Bears are showing signs of life. Caleb Williams off to a good start. You know, him and Jordan Love have pretty equal numbers. I saw a Facebook social media post on that. I mean, we all know that Caleb Williams has the potential to be pretty good if they give him a little bit of time. I'm not sure if the Bears' defense is good enough to get him into the playoffs this year. But Caleb, yeah, I mean, you give him a little time, he's very athletic, he'll make good things happen.
He's got incredible instincts. He had a throw, not this just this past weekend, but the week before in their loss, where he throwed a Odunze on the sideline, and it was shades of Aaron Rodgers. It was like, wow, the placement, the instinct. He very clearly wasn't aiming. He's just throwing. So if you keep him in the right mindset, which may or may not be able to be coached, you know, I like to believe so. I like to believe Ben Johnson can shape Caleb Williams up. That would be incredible and terrifying and incredible.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Neither of us are a Bears fan. We both like other NFC North teams.
Yeah.
I like having better rivalries, but I don't know if I need three.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need everybody to be good.
Two's good.
In that division. The Vikings, of course, are easing themselves into a quarterback controversy because Carson Wentz did not light it up on Sunday, but he did. He managed the game. He did what he needed to do, made some good decisions. And if Carson Wentz goes to Dublin and England, which is where the Vikings play the next 2 weeks back-to-back, if he goes there, plays well, gets a couple of wins, the Vikings have a bye week. Then they come back with Philadelphia at home. So even if J.J. McCarthy is ready to go in week 7, do you throw J.J. McCarthy back out there when Carson Wentz, let's say scenario-wise, has led your team to a 4-1 record? Do you throw the rookie back out there against the Super Bowl champions?
The only thing I'm certain of, Joel, is that you will be far from alone asking that question.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell's got to answer it, though. I think he will put J.J. out there if JJ is ready, because I think you gotta show that you gotta show faith in your guy.
Yeah.
Tomlin last year, when Justin Fields was doing well, pulled him because he knew what would have happened if he left Fields in. And we can't say what would have happened, but statistics back up the idea that Fields would have started losing pretty soon.
Well, and I think there's two scenarios. If you get to that scenario in week 7, number one is, yes, you want to show confidence in JJ McCarthy. The other scenario is, so you throw Carson Wentz out there, your chances of winning that game still aren't that great, and there's a pretty good chance he comes off the field on a stretcher in that game because he's not mobile, and we know the Eagles' defense is a little bit aggressive at times.
More or less, yeah. We might see Carson Wentz minus the one knee that he left out on the 35. Like, that's within the realm of possibility, but you can't play scared either. So it's kind of that fine line. You gotta let Wentz do what he's got to do. And if nothing else, maybe you're letting Wentz play for a bridge starter role. You know, maybe he goes down and starts in New Orleans next year because Spencer Rattler ain't it. that's not gonna work. Yeah. Maybe Tyler Shock shapes up a little quicker than New Orleans expects. I've got to pay a little more attention to them before I share any opinions. But, hey, there will be places who might want Wentz next year. I mean, Sam Darnold was in demand. Wentz got a job this year. That's you never know where the gaps are going to pop up.
I still, after Sunday's games, as me being a Viking fan and you a Packer fan, of course, I still think the Packers are a better team than the Vikings right now. I think the Packers' defensive, when they meet right now, if the Packers' defensive line stays healthy, I think the Packer defensive line gets into the backfield on the Vikings and causes a lot of problems when the two teams meet. And I just think that the Packer defense is too good right now to not put them still as the number one team in the North.
Right, and the Packers defense almost won the game for them yesterday because it's just a matter of smother, smother, smother. One of those other silver linings that remains true, Packers, 0 first half touchdowns allowed. 0.
Yeah.
Nobody has scored on them in the first half yet, and that just speaks to how smothering that defensive line can be. The Browns, anybody can score with a 4-yard field. And when you hand them a 4-yard field position, we gave them our own 4-yard line yesterday, mm-hmm. or 2 days ago. I'm repressing the issue, Joel. We got to...
Here's one thing to consider. The Vikings scored their first touchdown outside of the fourth quarter yesterday. They did not score a touchdown in the first three quarters of game 1 or game 2. And that's a funny stat, but the Vikings are 2-1.
Yeah.
So either the Vikings are that, or they just had a rough stretch, and now the good stuff's coming, and watch out.
one of the two. I'm not sure.
The way Jeff Goldblum might say it, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
The Vikes find a way.
they did. They did find a way. And I think it's safe to say we got at least three pretty good. We got LaFleur, O'Connell, and the kneecap biter, Man Campbell. We got three pretty darn good coaches right now in the NFC North, those guys.
I think so. And we've got Ben Johnson in Chicago who could shape up. I mean,
yeah.
we could be for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years the next, like, the dynasty division. I mean, this might be just a bloodbath. I might not survive the next decade, Joel.
Somebody step back, please. I can't take the stress. I need an easy win here at some point. Well, the Vikings got one. The Vikings got one over the Bengals.
You've cashed that in.
Thank you, Joe Burrow, for not playing. We got Pat Kreitlow coming in next. Your keyword, hey, get that to us. It's Rival, R-I-V-A-L, Pat Kreitlow coming in next.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Secret Service says it's thwarted a plot that could have crippled telecommunications and law enforcement functions in New York City just as the United Nations General Assembly gets underway. ABC's Eric Katursky has more.
There are no arrests yet. The apartments where the equipment was found were empty. Investigators suspect the alleged plot is the work of a well-organized and well-funded group that law enforcement sources say is believed to be linked to China.
President Trump will address the UN General Assembly today. He, Monday at the White House, said that pregnant women should not take Tylenol during pregnancy because of the potential for an increased risk of autism. But a number of medical groups have said that decades of studies have not found a causal link between acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, and autism. The Jimmy Kimmel Show returns tonight after a suspension from Disney, the parent company of ABC News, over comments Kimmel made about the assassination of Charlie